She touched the screen, and a map of the area replaced the image of the planet.
"Ben, you first found ship on Zyost," Natua said. "He was docked, for a better word, below an abandoned citadel in the ground. What remaining documents there are indicate that this site was the nest of the future Sith. I thought it was a nursery or school, until I saw this."
She touched the pad again. The map disappeared, replaced by the image of an orange, pebbly-surfaced, too familiar ship. And even though everyone knew exactly why they were here, there was still a flicker of apprehension in the Force at the sight.
"While it's highly doubtful that this is the same ship we seek, considering how long he seemed to have been on Zyost," Natua continued, "it is definitely a Sith training vessel. It's not too much of a stretch to believe that ship might decide to return to a known nest to roost."
"So it sounds like we'll have two goals," Jaina mused, thinking aloud. "We'll explore the city to see if we can find a trace of ship in its, hangar, and we'll investigate the nearby volcanic caves to search for other information that could help us if he's not there. Natua, what do we know about the rites that were conducted in the lava tubes?"
"Unfortunately, nothing," said Natua. "They were secret, only for the initiated. Once the Sith started using the Deplorons, or rather the pheromones they produced, the records go silent on what actually transpired."
She sounded a bit frustrated that she could not provide answers. Ben realized that, like most of the formerly mad Jedi, Natua was trying to atone for the harm she had caused while under Abeloth's influence. Jaina, too, obviously saw what was going on, and squeezed Natua's arm in a friendly fashion.
"Upeeksar is a small and not very well-known bastion of the Sith to begin with," Jaina said. "Add to that these bugs and secret rituals, and nobody's going to find much more information on them."
"Rock Skuri," Natua said. "The Sith called them Rock Skuri."
"Dream singers,"
Vistara translated.
"That's an awfully nice name for bugs," Ben said.
Vistara turned to him.
"To the Sith, nightmares are really no different from ordinary dreams. They offer opportunities for growth. To be able to control the direction of your nightmare, to defeat it, means you are strong. So creatures that caused visions would be valued and respected for the challenges they brought."
"Yeah, but they don't sing," Ben pointed out.
He glanced at Natua.
"Do they?"
The Feleen smiled.
"Not as far as I've been able to determine."
"It's a metaphor,"
Vistara said.
"They could have been called dream makers, or weavers, or creators, or..."
"I get your point,"
Ben said, holding up his hands in a mock surrender gesture.
"Are the Rock Skuri dangerous in any other way, Natua?"
"No,"
Natua replied.
"The secretion is non-toxic, and they are otherwise harmless. Even their mandibles are too small to pierce skin."
"You're going to make the Grand Master of the Jedi very happy,"
Jaina said.
"And if you'd like, I'd love it if you'd come with us. Seems to me you've more than earned your right to participate in the hunt. And I'm going to tell Luke so."
Natua's eyes widened.
I would of course be honored to help the Grand Master, if he wishes me to come. Thank you, Jaina."
Not so long before, Ben knew, the two women had been locked in a lightsaber battle. But Natua was now healed, and determined to make up for the illness Abeloth had forced upon her. He was glad of it. He was just plain glad right now.
"I'm going to leave a message for Uncle Luke, and then I'm off to see my fiancé."
"Don't do anything I wouldn't do," Ben quipped.
"Hey, I certainly hope I do, and you better not," Jaina shot back.
She was already striding off at a brisk pace, speaking quietly into her comlink.
"So," Ben said, "time for me to play tour guide. Where would you like to go first?"
"It's your temple," Vistara answered. "I want to see everything. So where would you like to go first?"
"Honestly," Ben said, giving her a rueful grin, "the cafeteria."
Vistara rolled her eyes.